Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Today on CityCast DC, from RFK finally being knocked down, smoking weed outside, and ticketing crackdowns, lots of changes are coming to the district. To get into all of it, I'm joined by Washington Business Journal's Drew Hansen and CityCast producer Juliet Caron. Today's Tuesday, May 7th. I'm Bridget Todd, and here's what DC is talking about. Drew, Juliet, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Bridget.
Thank you.
Drew, I feel like we have been talking about this in DC, it seems like forever. What is actually finally happening with RFK Stadium?
So last week, the National Park Service issued a permit that will allow the stadium, my beloved RFK Stadium, where I've spent many of my sporting memories as a 42-year-old man, finally can be demolished. It's been in mothballed for the last 5 years. So it's just kind of sat there on the edge of the city near the end of Capitol Street. And now it can finally be taken down and we can figure out what the next steps are going to be to redevelop that plot of land in D.C.
So when did like RFK stop being a functional building that was in regular use?
D.C. United was the last regular tenant, and they left in 2017 when they opened Audi Field. But then in 2019, they started the process of shutting it down.
All right. So, like, I think we all know that Mayor Bowser wants the Commanders to come back to D.C. It's very clear, like, people think that RFK is the spiritual home of the football team and that RFK's site is, like, the place to be for that. Have the Commanders said anything outright about, like, hey, we're, like, all gung-ho, all forces go, we're moving back to the district?
So Josh Harris, the owner of the Commanders, said at the annual league meetings, maybe a little bit more than a month ago, that they have drawn up site plans for all three jurisdictions, Virginia, Maryland, and D.C. Now, there is legislation going through Congress. It has passed the House. It remains in committee in the Senate that gives D.C. A longer lease on the plot of land. It's about 190 acres where that stadium is. And what they can do with this bill is they get a longer lease. And they get to put different things on it than what it currently allows. Currently, it can only be sports and recreation there.
Got it.
What the legislation does is it gives DC more control to build apartments, to build other things, mixed use, retail, all those sorts of things. And I mean, if you think about DC, there isn't that much left in terms of a blank slate, a plot of land that you could really carve up and do some things with. And, you know, gone are the days of just, you know, a stadium sitting by itself. I know we all love a good tailgate, but I wouldn't expect a bunch of parking lots around it, maybe a few. You know, you want to look at it as a stadium, as an economic development engine. You want to look at it as a place to bring activity beyond just the, you know, the 10 or 11 dates it's used a year, maybe a Taylor Swift concert or a Beyonce concert in there as well. But yeah, that slice of local control, giving them a little bit more say and what can go there, you know, can give them something to do. I don't think there's a better place in the region for a stadium than RFK. You're hard pressed to find a better place for one.
Well, what do you think makes it so ideal for a stadium out there?
Well, you know, it's good access to all three of our jurisdictions. It's got a metro station already there. You don't really need to build a new line or, you know, another station, or you don't need to add another stop. It has a connection to transit. DC has really been reworking its Anacostia waterfront. If you go down from Audi Field and Nat Stadium through Navy Yard and you keep going along the Anacostia, it's all getting built up. And, you know, this is kind of a continuation of that if you look at the map.
Got it. So I know that this RFK Stadium stuff is attached to an FAA flight bill. Why? What is happening? I'm so confused. Please explain.
So that is the request. My fellow journalist at Axios reported last week that DC has requested that the RFK legislation be tacked on to the FAA reauthorization, which is kind of a, you know, ho-hum piece of legislation that needs to be done every couple of years. But it seems the best way to get this done before the elections in November. You know, maybe after November, there's a chance to do it. But if you think who might be elected president in November and you think he really wants to give a bunch of land to Muriel Bowser, I'm not so certain he'd want to do that. Of course, we're talking about Donald Trump. And if he's president again, I'd have a hard time believing that he'd be willing to give that plot of land to DC for control.
So I'm curious, because it's attached to the FAA bill, obviously people want like more long haul flights and stuff. Does that mean like it's possible that like Maryland and Virginia might like stymie this effort because it's like, oh, well, like the commanders are leaving Maryland and we can like say, you know, let the door hit you on the way out kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, smartly, all our local senators in Maryland and Virginia, of course, DC doesn't have any senators, which is another wrinkle in all this. But the senators from Virginia and Maryland have already come out against it because they don't want to add the reauthorization bill adds 5 round trip flight slots to DCA, which they argue that the airport's already overtaxed and would cause safety concerns. And I believe, you know, just about a month ago, there was a near run in with 2 planes on a runway there. You know, they've got planes going off every other minute or even every minute, something like that. So they've already come out against it. And yeah, you know, they were, you know, it does add some intrigue to it that, yeah, you know, if you're Tim Kaine or Mark Warner, you probably, you know, you want Virginia to land the commanders. And it's another reason for them to vote against the reauthorization as it's written right now.
I'm curious, do either of you have particularly salient memories of being at the stadium? I'm like racking my brain to think of the last time I was actually there. It's been so long.
I've lived here most of my life. I did not go to any games there when the football team played by a different name. I did go to, this is back when DC didn't have a baseball team, but the Mets and the Phillies played an exhibition game there. In the 80s when they were working their way back and when they were working their way back from spring training. And that was my first taste of RFK. I'm a longtime DC United fan, so I've spent probably 200 nights at RFK Stadium going to those games throughout the last 20 years or so. So yeah, it's it was a rowdy, raucous place. You know, you can YouTube the We Want Dallas when the football team was getting ready to play the Cowboys in the playoffs and how intimidating it was. And the stands could shake if everybody was jumping down in unison. And when I talked to Josh Harris last year about sort of his plans for the stadium, wherever it might be, you know, he said he really wanted to recapture that environment that he saw there when he was 8 years old. And yeah, it was a rowdy, raucous place. And everybody in the city got behind that football team. We all know that FedEx Field is not in a great place. It's a pain in the rear end to get out there. It's a pain in the rear end to get back. It's metro accessible, but it's not exactly metro accessible. There's a good tailgating culture there, if that's what you're into. But, you know, it sucks up a lot of your day to go out there for a game. You want to get out there early. You're going to have to stay late to wait out traffic. And, you know, imagine walking from your apartment on Capitol Hill to Commanders game. That would be, you know, pretty great.
I think my best memory of RFK is I saw the women's national team play out there. I forget the year it was, but there was some exhibition game there. They were playing France and it like was downpouring, but everyone was having a blast. I mean, it would be interesting to see if they could recapture the magic there that that stadium provides. It'd be cool.
Yeah, let's not forget there, you know, there's some pretty good music history with RFK too. I don't know if you guys remember the HF Festival, local rock radio station had an annual concert there every year. When I was going there in high school, it was 20 bands for $20. And that was really great. There was the Tibetan Freedom concert put on by Beastie Boys. The stadium was struck by lightning during the middle of that concert.
That's right.
Some people ended up in the hospital. And I remember Adam Yauch and the other 2 Beastie Boys went to visit the people who got hit in the hospital. So that was a big deal. You know, I believe there was a September 11th concert there. I think Michael Jackson performed at that one. And then there was, you know, you can look at the bootlegs. There were some pretty memorable Grateful Dead shows that went through there and that sort of stuff. So.
Yeah, that's such a good reminder of the history of that place. I'd totally forgotten about all that.
Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture, and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
I know there are people out there that are going to love this news, which is that for the first time, D.C. residents are going to be able to legally smoke or consume marijuana in licensed retailers' outdoor social spaces like courtyards or gardens or rooftops. The Alcoholic Beverage and Cannabis Administration, the ABCA, which I did not know was a thing until just now, says its new summer garden program, which is part of the 2022 D.C. medical cannabis bill, is finally getting off the ground.
Wait, okay, so you're telling me people are going to be able to blaze it in public in D.C.? That's what's happening.
Public might be a bit strong. Okay. But okay. You can go to a retailer, and if they have an outdoor area like a patio or a garden or a rooftop, as long as they meet some pretty specific rules, you can legally consume marijuana in those spaces. So let's talk about some of the restrictions, because it's not just a free-for-all, go sit on your stoop, go sit on anybody's stoop and do that. I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea.
I was going to say, I feel like when people are just like, oh, patio, outdoor pot, let's go. It's just like everyone's on the stoop, everyone's in a backyard, you're smoking, it's all good. But
yeah, you can't just go to like Roofers Union at Adams Morgan and like smoke weed and be like, this is legal now.
Surprise. All right, so what are the rules?
Yeah. So basically, so Axios reported this. Registered D.C. residents and others can buy medical cannabis products to consume at all licensed retailers who have that ABCA-approved summer garden endorsement. The hours are between 8 and midnight. They cannot have any live music or live entertainment. However, they can play, quote, ambient music, which I thought was so funny because, like, as kind of a music person, I was like, oh, ambient music, that's like a very specific genre of music. I think what they're trying to say is that it can't be like loud, raucous music. It has to be sort of quiet. I don't think they mean that you can only be playing like, you know, the genre of ambient music. I don't think.
I was going to say, Krongbin fans, rise, hive rise, let's go. Yeah, I mean, I feel like this is them just saying like, listen, have a chill vibe, but don't like blow the speakers out.
Yeah. It's like, no, the only band that you can play is Sigur Rós. That's all that will be tolerated. Although that'd be pretty funny legislation for the city to take up, right?
Are you offering an amendment? Is that what that is? Yes. I'd like to amend this to
Sigur Rós only. Let's go.
So retailers also cannot serve alcoholic beverages, but they can serve non-alcoholic drinks and food in their summer cannabis gardens.
Oh, okay. So like, why? Do we know why only food and like?
I would just say that they want to keep those lanes separate, and they probably don't want them intertwined.
And also everybody knows if you're smoking and also drinking, you get a little sleepy. Maybe they don't want sleepy people in these establishments. Maybe that's just me.
I feel like not having people crossfaded is the goal here, right? Like they don't want the two to converge and yeah. Dang. Wow. Wild. All right. So are there places that we can do this?
There are already two spots in the works. The National Holistic Healing Center in DuPont Circle and New Leaf Smoke Shop on 8th Street is awaiting approval for an endorsement with a protest hearing scheduled on May 22nd.
Dang. So is it like all these anti-pot people showing up to 8th Street and being like, literally get off my lawn? Is that the deal?
Well, I mean, some of the conversations we've had around weed in the city, there probably are going to be people for whom they're like, I don't want this in the city. I don't like the smell, whatever, whatever. So I can imagine the public comment period being full of people who don't like this. But what do you all think? Like, would you go to these spots? Do you think it'll change going out culture in D.C.?
You know, I think in any city the size of D.C. that there's an opportunity to try things and see if these things catch on. And I think that's what they're doing here. You can see how the market reacts to it and make a determination from there if it's something to pursue further or, dial back or tweak in any way.
And I think it's also related to the fact that, like, less and less people are, like, going out and like drinking at bars like they once did. I think a lot of people are sort of rethinking their relationship to alcohol. So I wonder if that shift is going to impact how people are thinking about these summer patios.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not much of a smoker. I find weed actually just makes me like very anxious. It does the opposite of what I need it to do, which is to chill me out. But I think if you're looking for a space where you want to feel safe smoking or like try it or, you know, be with friends and be okay and in the safe space generally, I think these offer that option for people. And I think it's something DC hasn't quite seen before. I know we've seen like hookah bars. But I feel like pop patios might be an interesting way to like introduce people to weed if they have interest, you know?
Well, one thing I can tell you that does not mix is weed and driving.
For sure.
For so many reasons, but especially because DC is really cracking down on speeding cameras and tickets. Julia, can you tell us more about this?
Yeah, all right. So if you are like me and you own a car in the DC metro area, I'm sure that you have been terrified when you're driving down any street and you see the flashers go off and you're like, oh no, I made a grievous error. Apparently a new report came out that shows that a couple of DC's speed cameras gave out over 10,000 citations in over three months, which is insane to me. It feels wild. The one that got the most hits is a camera located along the Potomac Freeway at 25th Street Northwest. I had to look this up. This is near like the Watergate Hotel. It gave it 33,000 plus tickets between October 1st and December 31st in 2023, which is nuts to me. Nuts. 33,000 tickets, Bridget.
That is a lot of tickets. It really makes me wonder, like, when we first were talking about how the city was going to be installing more cameras, I remember wondering, does DC really have a problem with like dangerous driving, or is this just a racket to get more money for the city? Now I'm wondering, maybe we are some unsafe drivers.
Listen, as a Maryland driver, I can say, listen.
You're going to admit that on the air?
I am. Here's what I'll say. I think everyone who drives around here is awful. Everyone in DC, everyone in Maryland, everyone in Virginia, we're all bad. Collectively, we're heinous. And what DDOT has said is that a lot of these high performing locations like that are doling out tickets are new, so people don't expect them. So I think people are blitzing at like 45 and like a 30 or something, and they just don't expect it. What DDOT has said is that the tickets are meant to have speeding chill out and not increase city revenue. I know we have talked on the show before that like using speeding tickets to get people to pay to help downtown has been an interesting thought. And one that has been considered. But DDOT says that that's not happening. It's just to like moderate safe driving, make sure Maryland and Virginia and DC drivers are actually following the rules and that people, you know, don't flout the speed limit as we are wont to do, you know?
Yeah, I'm just going to say, as someone who I haven't lived in the district in a while, I'm in Alexandria now, but I used to work out at the end of New York Avenue, and there were some speeding cameras on New York Avenue that would get me on occasion. And that was a long time ago, but you knew where they were. And I think we still kind of know where they are in general. So you'll learn after you get one, right? And then maybe you'll change your behavior a little bit.
Exactly. I think that's the whole goal is like they want people to change their behavior. And, you know, this is one way to do it. So
is it only cars or other types of vehicles being cracked down on?
All right. So you might have seen in the last couple of weeks, there have been a ton of articles about how DC has had this surge in moped purchasing and a million mopeds on the road. DC Council is proposing a new bill that would require mopeds to be registered with the Department of Motor Vehicles at the point of purchase. Currently, they don't have to because they only hit a certain like mile per hour. And if you're ripping across the city, that's actually pretty convenient. What they hope is that it will crack down on the dangerous moped drivers. Also on a moped, like in a car, there's like stuff and metal to protect you and airbags. On a moped, it's you and the pavement, baby. Like, maybe don't go ripping 40 miles an hour when it's just you, you know? I don't know. Apparently, the reason that we're seeing a lot more mopeds is due to food delivery apps. And like, I am guilty of this. I love a DoorDash. I love a Uber Eats. I love when someone drops it off. And apparently, mopeds are really easy to just like, you load it up in like that baggie that they have. You strap it to your moped and you can pretty much rip. So that's why they're more popular. Basically, they want to make sure people who are driving on mopeds are safe drivers. So a lot of safe driving etiquette going around, you know?
So I went looking for more information about this, and I actually found it a little bit confusing trying to use Twitter/X to do so. What is going on there?
So I don't know how this happened, but there's been an imposter who's been running the DDoT director's Twitter X account for over 6 months. I feel like this is in your realm, Bridget, as a woman in STEM, a woman in tech. But basically, apparently this troll took control of this Twitter account. It's at DDoT DC director. Apparently the former director resigned. It went up for grabs and this troll grabbed it, just snatched it right out of the air. Love that for them. Basically, DDoT said, like, this is an account that's been posting everything from like AI-generated images of development to like fake press releases. It's been getting traction. And I think, right, like people rely on this thing for news and for updates from DDoT. And now you have an imposter running this account. To be fair, now it's labeled as a parody account. So I imagine that there's going to be a new account where you can get your news from or just like visit the site, something like that. But yeah, I cannot. Now even X and Twitter are unreliable for news. Who knew?
See what happens when you give Elon Musk the keys?
Yes, everything gets a lot more confusing and difficult to figure out.
Yeah, I just want to say this was up for 6 months, that this DDoT account on Twitter.
Unlabeled as parody?
Yes.
Well, that's terrible. Like, it's funny, but like also it's like when it's DDoT, that's one thing. If it's like, oh, I don't know, the mayor's account or something. Like, I don't know. It's a lot.
Listen, apparently, the saying I heard when I was growing up was true, which is you can't trust everything on the internet. So really don't trust everything on the internet. Go to like DDoT's actual website, maybe. Not Twitter, not X. Maybe you won't get parody press releases, that kind of stuff.
Let's hope not. Juliet, Drew, thank you so much for wading through all of this news with me today.
Thanks, Bridget.
Thank you so much.
That's all for today here on CityCast DC. If you enjoyed the show, why not share it with your friend that you're excited to go to a weed patio with? You can rate the show, leave us a review, and subscribe to our morning newsletter. We'll be back tomorrow morning with even more news from around the city. Talk to you then.